I strongly urge our nation's states and cities and counties to consider carefully the harm they are doing by refusing to enforce our immigration laws and to rethink these policies. Public safety as well as national security are at stake and put them at risk of losing federal dollars.
United Airlines responding to fierce backlash after a series of viral tweets over the weekend that allege United prohibited two young girls from boarding a flight in Denver because they were wearing leggings. A United spokesman says the two girls were special pass travelers, riders who are the friends or relatives of employees who get free or discounted air travel. The company says those riders have a more formal dress code and the two girls would not have been turned away for wearing leggings had they been paying customers.
Worries you on the markets right now? We're seeing quite a lot of volatility, uncertainty.
The Central Reserve, the central bank in America, they have no clue what they're doing. They're going to ruin us all.
Why?
Why? For they've driven interest rates to levels which have never been seen in history. The rest of the world followed. You know, in Scandinavia in the early 90s, they had this problem. Several people went bankrupt. They started over again. And Scandinavia's been fabulous after 3 years of horrible pain. This is the way the world works.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's March 28, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. Glad to have you along for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day. Lots to cover. A little bit later in the program, we'll be talking with Kerry Dolan of Forbes magazine. The annual billionaires list is out. We'll tell you which Illinoisans are on and off the list and why there are more billionaires in the U.S. this year. That's coming up a little later on. In a little bit, we'll talk a little bit about safety, online safety, and filing your taxes. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are looking positive, up about 11 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures are a little higher, oil trying to recover as well. That seems to be the story this morning as stocks recovering after their lows on yesterday and over the weekend. Futures stocks, that is, anxiety over Donald Trump's setback on health care and concerns about the planned stimulus policies ahead, including tax reform and infrastructure. European stocks rose overnight. The dollar index against a basket of major currencies edged up on the Asian markets this morning. Numbers generally positive as well, with the Nikkei up almost 1%, gaining back most of what it lost yesterday, 217 points. In Asia, generally higher as well, with the DAX leading the way up almost 0.5%. The FTSE is up about 7 points this morning. The CAC is up about 3 points, also about 0.5%. Crude oil at $48.15 a barrel, up almost a full percent this morning. A couple of stories that we're watching for you. American Airlines has agreed to pay $200 million for a stake in China South Airlines, one of the country's three major state-owned carriers, and expand commercial operations there. China Southern Airlines said in a statement this morning through the Hong Kong exchange that it will the purchase represents about 3% of its shares. The Associated Press and two other news organizations say FBI Director James Comey has made public enough details about the Bureau buying a tool to unlock the iPhone for terrorism investigations that the agency should also release how much it costs. The media organization said in court papers filed yesterday that Comey had spoken at length and in detail about the FBI's purchase last year of a device that enabled it to access the work phone of one of two shooters in the 2015 San Bernardino, California shooting. The AP, Vice Media, Gannett, and other companies had filed and sued the FBI back in September through the Freedom of Information Act. They sought information about how much the FBI paid and the identity of the vendor. It is tax season. Most of us will probably file taxes online. Is it safe? Well, let's ask Sean Murphy. He's the CEO of Sender. That's S-N-D-R. He's with us this morning. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Great to have you. First of all, tell us a little bit about Sender.
Well, it's a sort of an initiative to secure online communications and secure file sharing. We have different products that are coming out for small businesses, professionals, we're going to be seeing some more products the rest of this year.
It's a new company that's just getting off the ground, right?
That's correct, yes. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about taxes, because this is, or online security, this is one of your areas of interest and where you have your expertise. Pretty much all of us are going to be doing this online. Is that a fair assessment? Do we, most of us, do this online now?
Yeah, so, you know, overwhelmingly, it's all online now. I mean, there's still some holdouts that are doing paper submissions, but mostly it's going to be e-filing.
What is the biggest danger here, Sean?
Well, the biggest danger is the old danger, is the online phishing and attacking. You know, you're probably all getting phone calls and suspicious emails, you know, telling you that there's last-minute changes to your taxes and to call them immediately. And all these are just scams. The IRS doesn't operate that way. Also, you know, the virtual scams, too, where, you know, computers are getting hacked into, malware, ransomware, and the number one valuable target for a hacker is your tax returns. That's where they get all the information about you that they need.
You know, and some of these scams are pretty serious. A couple of weeks ago, we had on the Better Business Bureau here from Chicago, and the number of these scams and attacks is just, it's in the millions, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, if you go to the IRS's website, irs.gov, right on the front page, they have multiple links for scams and, you know, warning you about this. So it is a huge, huge threat.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, on the first full trading day since congressional Republicans withdrew their health care replacement bill, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 45 points to close at 20,551. The S&P 500 was down 2 1/3 points at 23.41. The NASDAQ composite gained more than 11.5 points. Amazon is buying Middle East online retailer Souq.com in a deal estimated at up to $650 million. Amazon was said to be interested in expanding into Souq's region for some time. Both companies expect the sale to be finalized later this year. Meanwhile, American Airlines will pay $200 million for a stake in China Southern Airlines. Foreign carriers are building relationships with their Chinese counterparts to gain a bigger share of that country's growing consumer market as travel in Europe and North America is leveling off. And Apple has finally released its iOS 10.3 update. Among the new features, a Find My AirPods option and a new Apple file system. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to their program, 521. We're in the heart of tax season here now as we head toward April 18th, which is the deadline this year. We're on with Sean Murphy this morning, the CEO of Sender, S-N-D-R. Sean, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the size and scope of potential hacking with taxes. For those people like me who use the software, like, for instance, TurboTax, are those software programs safe? And what do we have to be concerned about using those?
They're very safe. And, you know, really what it comes down to is the way we use them. And it turns out, you know, these products, they save to your local hard drive or to your local device a backup file of your different tax return documents and whatever you're filing. And we want to make sure that we're keeping that safe both physically on that device and also virtually. And so some of those things that you might be inclined to do is, you know, back up that file, maybe drop, you know, put it in a cloud storage or, you know, some sort of online service that you use. And that's a very unsafe thing to do. So virtually, we want to make sure that we're not storing that tax data in cloud services. You know, you want to keep it local. If you do want to back it up, which I highly recommend you do, put it on an encrypted USB stick, you know, throw it in a fireproof safe. But certainly don't back up those files to any cloud service, no matter how safe they say. It's just too much of a risk.
Yeah, so there, check one. I failed that one already. So your suggestion would be what, burn it maybe to a CD and then that USB stick, and then, of course, have the fireproof safe, which is important.
Exactly. And also, too, you know, once tax season's over, once they've accepted your return, you know, go ahead and get rid of it from your PC, you know, just in case that you've lost that device or someone steals your laptop, or even years from now, you sell that laptop. You don't have to worry about that. Oh, shoot, did I remove the tax return data? Just back it up and get it off that device.
Yeah, and you make a good point, too, about making sure that the PC is safe to begin with before you even load the software on. Are there steps we should be taking?
Absolutely. You know, what I like to do is anytime I get a device, make sure I turn on full disk encryption. And for iOS devices, it's already, you know, iPhone and iPad, it's already turned on by default. Android, you have to usually set that up. Sometimes it's called require a passphrase for boot up. On your Windows machine and your OS X machine, your Mac, you can enable those as well. On Mac, it's called File Vault, and on Windows, it's called BitLocker. Go ahead and turn it on, any device that you have. It takes just a few seconds to enable, and it probably takes a minute or so to configure it all. But if you ever do lose that device, you know, if someone steals it or you sell it, you don't have to worry about anyone getting into your sensitive files.
Could there be already something lurking on our computers waiting for us to load this kind of stuff on our computers?
Absolutely, and that's one of the biggest modern threats to PCs nowadays is so-called ransomware or malware. And these are, back in the old days, we had to worry about viruses, something that would destroy your computer and you couldn't boot it up and you couldn't get work done. Now they just sit in the background and monitor and try to capture information about you. And most virus scanners that you get nowadays, Windows 10 has a really good one that's built in. You can research some additional ones, but just keep in mind that any malware or ransomware you get on your PC, the number one thing they're looking for is this tax data.
Yeah, and this also extends away from our computers as well. If you're not one of those folks that uses this kind of software, tax software, have somebody actually prepare your taxes, like a CPA or something. What do we have? What can we do to make sure their computers are safe?
Well, you know, one of the best things I always recommend is to have an open dialogue with them and say, hey, you know, I'm very concerned about security. What are your parameters? What are your procedures for, you know, securing your assets and securing the information that I'm giving you? And, you know, if a CP, you know, most CPAs are very professional about this, but, you know, if someone's saying, oh yeah, just go ahead and email me your W-2, or, you know, they don't have a secure mechanism for transmitting data, that's very worrisome for me. So, you know, always having that open dialogue and tell them that it's very, very important that you have that secure storage and retrieval and transmission, that'll give you a good sense of where they're at.
And if you're getting good feedback from that person, does that generally mean that they're probably secure knowing that they're trying to do the best they can? Are there warning signs? If, for instance, if you're having that conversation and they say something and it sets off a red flag, what would that be?
Oh, exactly. You know, just like the example I gave before, if they want to email you your W-2s, or they you know, have some insecure mechanism for transmitting that information to you, or you know, their office is just sort of an open format where anybody could walk in and plug in a USB. These are all warning signs. Or if they don't have security procedures set up, you know, obviously that's the biggest red flag.
Sean, we mentioned earlier that you've got about you know, more than two decades, 25 years at least of experience in this area. Is it getting safer or is it not getting safer?
Well, it's getting more convenient for hackers to get into our systems. You know, before it would be very targeted, you know, a decade even sooner, you know, it was one or two attacks that were, you know, very targeted for big payoffs. Now you have millions and millions of potential victims, and all they have to do is press a button. They download some software, they press a button, and they get huge payoffs. So it's a lot more convenient, and it's a lot more widespread now.
And I know that a lot of us use these different cloud services. You mentioned this earlier. Is there one that is safer than another, or are they all pretty susceptible? I mean, we all think that we have, you know, good service, but what you've said has kind of rattled me a little this morning.
Well, I think, you know, any of the services that you use now, you can take steps to secure your data. If you take a look for programs that will encrypt your data before you put them on the cloud services, you know, that will make you so much more secure. But, you know, you have to think about these cloud services are so easy for you to use. Well, it's easy for a hacker to get in as well. And moreover, the employees inside of this company or in these companies can access that data as well. So, you know, either, you know, intentionally, or if they accidentally get some of that malware and ransomware we were talking about before, your data could be susceptible for that to those attacks as well.
Sean Murphy, the CEO of Sender, SNDR. Where can we find more information about your company, Sean?
So, yeah, our website, SNDR.com. Also, I'm on Twitter. I'm Private Sean, S-H-A-U-N, and I talk about all sorts of security issues for everyday people.
All right. Well, we appreciate you sharing your expertise with us this morning. Thanks for being on The Opening Bell.
Thanks for having me.
From ABC News Tech Trends, it could be a make-or-break moment for Samsung, looking to right the ship after that massive recall of its fiery Galaxy Note 7 smartphones. Samsung this week will officially unveil its new Galaxy S8 flagship smartphones. In Gadgets, Dana Woolman with what we know so far.
It appears this will be a 6.2-inch phone. Leaked press shots show that it has this not only gigantic screen, but almost edge to edge with very thin bezels on the side.
In addition to a fingerprint sensor, Samsung is rumored to be incorporating facial recognition technology.
So it would be interesting to see Samsung adopt that technology and potentially beat Apple to market on that.
And Woolman says Samsung is expected to debut its own voice assistant with this device.
It's called Bixby, and it's meant to be a Siri competitor and also a competitor to Google Assistant.
Samsung will also include its revised 8-point battery testing procedure to avoid more flameouts. With Tech Trends, I'm Mona Rivera, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 539. The number of billionaires this year jumped 13%. The change in the number of big rich folks is the biggest in 31 years that Forbes has been keeping track of billionaires globally. Carrie Dolan is assistant managing editor at Forbes, covering billionaires, wealth, and philanthropy. And she's with us this morning via Skype from San Francisco to talk more about this list. Carrie, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. So the list of billionaires is out. What are the highlights and lowlights of this year's list?
The big highlight number is the sheer number of billionaires from around the world. This is the first time in the 3 decades that Forbes has been researching billionaires that we've had more than 2,000 people on the list. We found 2,043 billionaires around the world, a record high. And together, they're worth almost $7.7 trillion.
That seems like a big jump. Is there any reason why you can see that has jumped so?
You know, a lot of what we do to figure out billionaire net worth is look at the value of the stocks that people own in companies. And so as stock markets have risen in various parts of the world, that has helped. Also, we measure in dollars so that when foreign currencies like the Brazilian real or the Russian ruble strengthen against the dollar, which they have in the past year, we've got more Russians and more Brazilians on the list this year than we have in the past. And then we've also had some uptick in commodities values, so oil and precious metals. And so some of the mining billionaires and the oil and gas billionaires are back on, who'd fallen off in past years or richer than they were in the past.
So there are some familiar names on the list. Who might we recognize?
You would definitely recognize the man at the top. Bill Gates is number one on the list. He's been number one for the past 4 years and number one for 18 out of the past 23 years. And he's got a net worth that we estimate at $86 billion, which is not the highest he's ever been on the list, but pretty close to the highest.
And then who would round out, let's say, the top three?
The top three, number two, Warren Buffett behind Berkshire Hathaway, a big investment conglomerate. And number three, Amazon.com founder and CEO Jeff Bezos.
As somebody who deals with these kinds of stories regularly, it's really hard, I think, for most people to imagine having this much money. Does the money define the person, or is it the other way around in your experience?
I think different people deal with the money in different ways, but a lot of the money is really not actual cash in the bank, but value of the company that, for the most part, these are company founders. Some of them have inherited the companies. Some of them have made various investments. But a lot of this list is super successful entrepreneurs. So being on this list is a sign of having one of the most successful companies in the world.
Has the because the list tell us anything about the number of billionaires in Illinois or Chicago that we might be familiar with?
Oh, gosh, if only I had that statistic right at my fingertips. I can tell you that there are 565 U.S. billionaires, more than anywhere in any other country in the world. Off the top of my head, I cannot tell you how many are in Illinois. It's hard when you have a list of 2,000 billionaires to really have the micro target of a certain state. I mean, I can tell you there are 140 billionaires in California. Some of the Chicago billionaires, of course, are the Pritzker family behind the Hyatt Hotel, and they used to own the Marmon conglomerate. So Tom Pritzker, his sister Penny, his cousin Penny Pritzker, a number of those folks are on our list, and they're perennial members of the billionaires list.
It's probably better that you don't give us their names, because I doubt anybody would they'd want anybody knocking on their doors.
Although I did read that J.B. Pritzker is mulling a run for governor of Illinois. So he probably would want a little bit of name recognition.
That's true. We also heard that, you know, the president, who's also always been on this list, is knocked down a few notches. What did the list say about him this year?
Yeah, so Trump has been on this list for a number of years. He was not on it in the early 90s when he had those bankruptcies at his casinos in Atlantic City, and his net worth fell below $1 billion. But we've got him at $3.5 billion this year, which is down $1 billion from a year ago. Essentially, about 40% of his net worth is tied up in his ownership of real estate in Midtown Manhattan, in about 9 different buildings in Midtown Manhattan. And so the income that some of those buildings have brought in has dropped, and essentially the values of Midtown Manhattan real estate are off their peaks. And so that's why he's down. Some of his assets actually have gone up in value. His quote unquote Southern White House, the Mar-a-Lago golf resort down in Florida, where he tends to go every weekend, that's actually worth more in our estimation than it was a year ago, partly because he's increased the entrance fees to the place.
Well, Carrie, what do the demographics say about the number of men versus women on this list?
They probably wouldn't surprise you. there are way more men than women on the list. We have 227 out of 2,043 entrants. So a little more than, it's about 11%. That's pretty steady. It's been about 10-11%. Most of the 227 women inherited their fortunes from their fathers or their husbands who's passed away. There are about a handful of couples that are on there together. So the couple that founded Retailer Forever 21 share a fortune. The couple that founded Panda Express, the Chinese food place, they're on there together. There's a growing percentage of women who made their own fortunes. The richest self-made woman is a woman from China who started out as a factory worker and has a publicly traded company that makes the glass screen covers for smartphones.
Is getting on this list important to the people who have this money? Is it something that's a status symbol?
It really depends on the person. For some people, I spend a bunch of time on the phone with their PR person or their chief financial officer. Typically, that's people who have private companies for whom, if they have a reputation, and this is actually applies to President Trump. I mean, he's over the years really lobbied to get his net worth higher on the list because it has made him look better. He's told us it helps with financing, right? So if you're in real estate and you have a higher net worth on the Forbes list, you might get a bank to lend you some more money. So, but some people ask us to get off the list. Some people don't like being on the list because lots of charities then reach out and ask them for money. And some people, you know, I'd say a minority, you know, love it and want their net worth to be higher.
It's interesting that you say that some try to get off this list. And not only that, try to change. You mentioned Trump trying to change the dollar amount. But you guys have some real heavy methodology that you use to decide this, don't you?
Oh, yeah. This is in no way is this arbitrary. We've been doing this, as I said, this is the 31st year that Forbes has put out this billionaires list. We use stock prices for everybody on the list from the same day. We use exchange rates for everybody on the list from the same day. When we have private companies, we value them as if they were public. We look for publicly traded competitors to private companies. We apply a discount because they're private. Yeah, we have a totally solid methodology. I mean, people can argue. I mean, private companies, people could maybe argue that they don't like the comps we're using or whatever. I mean, we put the guy who founded Patagonia on the list, the outdoor sportswear clothing company, and the folks from Patagonia were not pleased that we included him. They don't like our methodology, but we applied the same methodology to him that we did for everybody else.
I know it's probably not something that you guys do. You don't like to do commentary on the, you know, rich versus the poor, but that's often a topic of discussion when lists like this come up. Is there a growing gap in, are you seeing that in your research for these lists?
Yeah, I mean, usually it's the Oxfams of the world that put out the list saying, oh, the, you know, 50 richest people on the Forbes list are worth the same as, you know, the billion poorest people in the world or something like that. I don't have the statistics right at hand. We tend to focus on what we do is focusing on these rich and powerful people and, you know, shining a light on what they're doing. Yes, you can make the argument that there is a growing gap between the richest and the poorest. But on the other hand, you can make the argument that a lot of these people have created a lot of jobs.
Yeah, and not only that, they give a lot back to charity. I mean, you go down the first three of that list, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, and Bill Gates especially globally gives a lot of his money back.
Yeah, so Bill Gates, I mean, he's given some 30 billion of his fortune that we do not count, right? So if we counted what he'd given to the Gates Foundation, he'd be worth over a billion. But that money's out the door. It's gone. We don't count anything that's in charitable foundations that can't be pulled back. So yes, and Gates and Buffett together started this giving pledge where they're trying to encourage billionaires and super rich people to give at least half of their net worth to philanthropic causes. And they've got, you know, something like 150 members signed the giving pledge. Do they have an enforcement mechanism? No, they don't. But they are trying to make it cool to give away money.
And then it's the dynamic is also kind of interesting between Warren Buffett and Donald Trump, because since Donald Trump was elected, Warren Buffett's made quite a bit of money, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, right? Warren Buffett, who like helped get people to the polls, who outwardly supported Hillary Clinton, right? And here he is, the person whose net worth has risen the most since the election, partly because he owns a bunch of Wells Fargo in Berkshire Hathaway, and banking stocks have done really well. But it is somewhat ironic that Buffett's richer since Trump's gotten into office.
Carrie, good of you to be with us in the opening bell. Maybe you and I will make this list next year.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on it.
Carrie Dolan is the writer at Forbes covering billionaires. She's the assistant managing editor and covers wealth and philanthropy as well. This year's Forbes billionaires list has 16 Illinoisans on it. We went and found the exact folks who are there. Some of them you recognize, some of them probably not. Ken Griffin is there. He's a hedge fund manager from Chicago, net worth $8 billion. Sam Zell is there as well, net worth $5 billion. J.B. Pritzker of Chicago there. He's at number 564, $3.4 billion. He's also running for governor. Lots of others on there as well. Lots of the Pritzker family as well represented on this year's billionaires list. You can find more at Forbes.com. You can follow Carrie, too, at Carrie Dolan and Forbes, at Forbes on Twitter.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures now flat, off up about 4 points, but headed in the wrong direction this morning. S&P and NASDAQ futures are a little bit higher as well. Gold and silver are both trading a little bit lower. A couple of other stories we're watching for you this morning. One big one involving Amazon. This morning we're learning that Amazon has clinched a deal to buy a big Middle East retailer. The company that they have purchased is called Souq, S-O-U-Q.com. And this is going to be a big deal. The value in terms of the number not being disclosed yet, but we expect it to be in the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, perhaps even $1 billion. That was the funding, the valuation of the company the last time it was made public. The deal appears to be get the endorsement of the Dubai government as well. That's where it's based, which is increasingly focused on technology. A big deal for Amazon again. Obtaining the retailer Souq, S-O-U-Q. Other news that we're watching for you this morning involves a little bit of the weakening commerce or quickening commerce area. Dunkin' Donuts is involved in this. Waze's traffic navigation app already shows ads prodding drivers to swing by fast food joints like Dunkin' Donuts and Taco Bell. Now it's adding a new item to its menu, the ability to place orders at some of those shops. Starting today, the Google-owned app will start letting drivers purchase coffee and other items from Dunkin' Donuts for pickup along the way. It'll even show you the quickest route to get there to get your donuts and coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday, March 28th. Standard & Poor's releases the S&P Case-Shiller Index for home prices. It's coming out early today. Also, the Conference Board releases Consumer Confidence Index numbers for March. That also could drive the markets today. The House Intelligence Committee holds a closed session today. Education Secretary DeVos and Ivanka Trump will visit the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum to talk about science, technical engineering, and science, space, and other sorts of programs that would be added to curriculums across the country. The U.S. Supreme Court is in session today. There's also a hearing on Capitol Hill about the House Appropriations bill that includes the public broadcasting, the cut of public broadcasting from the budget, Trump budget. That will be midday today. And also today, something on a stick day
celebrating foods that come on a stick, like toffee, apples, campfire sausages, lollipops, corn dogs. Unlikely to drive the markets today, but something interesting.